Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced this evening, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 352 of season 7. The air date of this episode is June 13th, 2023. We have the anchor man. We have our contributor, Tyrone, with us. We definitely have Brother Che and Krumah with us tonight. Disenfranchisement of the Black Nation. This is episode 352 of season 7. The disenfranchisement of the Black Nation is a very real and serious problem in these contemporary times. Brain-dead Black politicians who do not have the interest of Black people at heart is a serious matter. The life of the dump, as in human shit, does not concern Black politicians. This is very sad. To think that thousands of Black people who lost their lives and lifestyles, such as Ned Gavers, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Fred Hampton, and others, and then at the mention of many hundreds of thousands who perished on the passage, to believe in a system that does not believe in them. look at Hollywood and the entertainment world that views blacks as modern-day minstrels, whether they are in sports, entertainment, politics, legal, and medical careers. With this all-inclusive nonsense that continues to exclude us, they, something is very, very wrong. Please call in with your comments, questions, and concerns. This episode is for those 18 years of age and over. After the topics are covered, we will have an open mic if times allow. Please spread this notice to all. We are being shadow banned. Also, too, be sure to add this phone number, 516-418-5996, to your unlimited cell phone plan so you will not be charged for these calls. And we are still waiting on these Biden supporters to call in as well, with the dump being arraigned. And me personally, I didn't think what happened, meaning his sorry ass has been officially accused of a crime. You ain't heard nothing from old Hyden Biden, huh? Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to do is that we're going to turn it over to the Anchorman, Brother Rommel. Then we're going to turn it over to Brother Tyrone, who brought up tonight's topic tonight. Okay, Anchorman, go ahead there. What's your intro, sir?
Peace. This is Rommel Understanding, the angel of peace from the east. Understand and understood in the neighborhood near you. Bring a little hope without the dope, official frontline campaign. Salute to the fallen soldiers. I'm on military time. I'm on my military grind that I'm utilizing my military mind. You see, as I check my scientific calculations, I can see a storm of brimstone coming down. The day of reckoning is here, black family. The enemies of humanity will be humbled before the judges of the frontline campaign is held accountable by a trial of fire. The Black Imperial Army of Universal Justice will penalize and punish these weak and wicked creatures of Satan. They cannot and will not be forgiven or shown any mercy. At this very moment,
yes, sir,
we at the frontline campaign are contemplating a revolution which hasn't been predicted or expected. These devils have been caught by surprise. They have been tripped up by their very own lies. And I repeat, fuck a Oreo, fuck a dummy-o, fuck a weirdo homo, fuck a fruity pebble, and fuck all devils. Black family, we must be our own problem solvers, troubleshooters, and political movers and shakers. So if you ain't down with the revolutionary agenda, then get the fuck out the way. R.I.P. Michael Jackson. Peace.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Okay, Brother Tyrone, we're going to turn it over there to you, sir. You know, you brought up tonight's topic. And go ahead, brother, and then drop knowledge.
Thank you, brother. Good evening, everyone, and peace. This is the investigative reporter, Tyrone Jones, a.k.a. The Sword, a.k.a. The Master of Reality. Today, I would like to talk about the deliberate ongoing disenfranchisement of the black family and possible solutions to this systemic and structural racism. We will hear feedback from our esteemed panel and those listeners that have comments. So let's get started. The disenfranchisement of black America has long outlasted the end of the Civil War and Jim Crow laws. According to an article by Paula Braveman, Elaine Arkin, Dwayne Proctor, and Nicole Holm, and I quote, systemic and structural racism are often invisible, at least to those who are not its victims. Systematic racism is so embedded in systems that it often is assumed to reflect the natural, inevitable order of things. Slavery, explicitly supported by laws, endured for 250 years in the United States and was followed by 100 years of Jim Crow laws, often enforced by terror. They were deliberately designed to restrict the rights to vote, work, and get an education. Now, why was that so important to those racist people during that time period and even to this day? Even with the civil rights laws in the 1960s that made it illegal to discriminate, enforcement of these anti-discrimination laws has been unsuccessful in the long run. Here are some examples of structural and systemic racism. Political disempowerment through voter suppression and gerrymandering, are an important historical and contemporary manifestation of systemic racism. During the nearly 100 years era of Jim Crow laws, voter suppression of black people was maintained in many states through violent intimidation and selective applied laws. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 did not eliminate requirements that continue to differentially affect people of color. Segregation has been another historical and current example of systemic racism. The United States remains highly segregated despite the Fair Housing Act of 1968 that outlawed racial discrimination in housing. Financial practices, widespread discrimination in public and private lending policies and practices are another instance of systemic racism and continue to create major obstacles to home ownership and wealth for people of color. Our environmental injustice, okay, is systemic racism with direct ramifications to the health and welfare of the black family. Examples include well-documented patterns of putting coal-fired power plants and hazardous waste disposal in or on communities of color, with evident adverse effects on the population's health. In a largely black Flint, Michigan, in 2014, officials changed the city's water source to cut costs, which caused the erosion of old lead pipes with the devastation of widespread lead poisoning among the children. City officials ignored residents' concerns. This crisis reflects a long history of segregation, disinvestment, and infrastructure, and officials ignoring black residents' concerns with the result of long-term health issues. The criminal justice system reflects pervasive discriminatory policing and sentencing practices. Even though people of color represent 39% of the U.S. population, they make up over 60% of incarcerated people. A review conducted in 2017 noted that, and I quote, nearly one in three black men will be ever be in prison, and nearly half of black women currently have a family member or extended family member who is in prison. In addition, police violence is a leading cause of death for young black men in this country. So this is an article by Rashad Ray and Andrew Perry, socialists, or they're sociologists, that came out in April 2020. Quote, Why we need reparations for black America. And it says, today the average white family has roughly 10 times the amount of wealth as the average black family. White college graduates have over 7 times more wealth than black college graduates. Making the American dream an equitable reality demands that that same U.S. government that denied wealth to black restore that deferred wealth through reparations to their descendants in the form of individual cash payments in the amount that will close the black-white racial wealth divide. Brothers and sisters, it's easy to see that this systemic structural racism will not change with the help of this current government, so I will put out an urgent call to black able-bodied men and women to become a candidate for local offices such as mayor, city council member, county commissioner, school board members, and sheriff. These are the positions that distribute the city funds that is earned by property taxes to fund the police departments, hospitals, schools, and other areas that support the local infrastructure. If we control the funds from property taxes and federal funds, we won't have to ask for equality in areas that disenfranchisement has been on our people. We will have it because we will control the purse strings. And that is my conclusion. And I would like any response or any other hopefully solution, possible solutions to this problem of the ongoing disenfranchisement of the black family. Thank you.
Yes.
Hold on, Shabaka. I definitely got something.
Yes.
So whoever wrote that article, was that a black person that wrote that article?
Yeah. See, they were black sociologists from a university that put out a paper.
Okay,
they wrote
so
that paper.
That paper is mad off. Whoever wrote that paper is mad off code. Red flags for me from hearing that article are people of color, communities of color. I didn't hear nothing about cash reparations in that article. I didn't hear anything about anything specifically for black people in that article. It was kind of like one of those all-inclusive, we need to include everybody type articles. And then when it did mention black people, it was like, oh, well, these are the statistics. The wealth gap is this, the wealth gap is that. But I didn't hear anything about holding these politicians accountable for using our vote, for taking our votes for granted and not doing nothing specifically for us. I didn't hear nothing about education around civics and politics so people even know how the system works and how to get stuff passed and how to get stuff through. But it's always, it seems to be always, it's always some kind of pushback when something is catered or supposed to be catered to us or specific for us. But they don't have to go through all this stuff to get stuff passed for these Ukrainians. They don't have to go through all this stuff to get passed all this money for these illegal immigrants. They don't have to go through any other stuff. They don't even have to go through legislation. They just do it. So I wish that article would have stated ways of how we can go about getting our reparations and forcing the two-party system's hand. Like we stressed on Frontline Black News, demand something tangible for your vote. That was just like, we can go vote our way out of this. No, it didn't say nothing about, you know, creating an economic base so we could buy or rent a politician to serve our best interests. It didn't say nothing about how we can get control of the court system and the police and all that, the criminal injustice system, because there's nothing just about it. And it didn't say nothing about the media that perpetuates all of this.
Citing the reports and everything, because it was very informative. I think he did an excellent job, and, you know, we thank him, you know, eventually. That's what I want to say to that.
Well, we're just going to have to disagree to agree on that, because there was nothing empowering about that article. It was just like, okay, here's the stats, but there was no, what can we do about it?
Can I interject something? So towards the end of me reading the article, when I said unquote, that was the end of that part, and what I interjected in there was a possible solution that I thought would be effective, which is taking over local politics, which hold the purse strings to all those things that you're talking about. So if the law enforcement or police departments don't have the funding because the city commissioner is black, then that would be effective, just as effective as when we start going after the money with the Ku Klux Klan, it destroyed them. So,
yeah, but not to cut you off, but it would only be effective if the person that we're putting in this position is actually going to do what's in our best interest and not be compromised and not be just a puppet for the white supremacist power structure. Just having black faces in high places is not the solution, because we have black people in high places and they're not doing nothing specifically for us. And we're not doing nothing to force their hands. There's nothing that we're doing to hold them accountable and because we're not putting them in office. And the only way we're going to be able to put them in office is if we have an economic base in order to fund people's campaigns, in order to donate to their campaigns. That's the only way. The only thing they care about is a damn check. And we're asking for, we're demanding our goddamn reparations, $100 trillion. But we're not going to get that just by putting any old black face in as a commissioner or as whatever, because they, white supremacy is in blackface too. So we got Cop Mama Harris, vice president. We got all these black politicians, but we didn't put them in office.
Right. Yes, sir. And these black politicians do not have our interest at heart. Also, too, I just want to be advised, family, yeah, we got our chat room open and we got the wise ass serpents, and he's making some comments right here. Okay, now it says we disconnected from the chat room. Man, you see how they shadow banning us, man? Oh, man.
We wanted civil rights. No, we did not want civil rights. Who the hell is civil in this country? We wanted the same rights that you pale faces have. That's what we wanted. And we wanted freedom. We wanted freaking liberation. And our ancestors thought the way to that was through voting. And we can clearly see that it's not working.
Yeah, you're talking about a right to self-determination. Oh, we got Joe Gibson. Yeah, you're in the conversation. Joe, yeah, you're going to love this one, man, particularly with that stomp, as in you know, he's been indicted. Call in, Joe. Call everybody
Yeah,
bring in Sarge as well, too. You know what I'm saying?
Dude,
we're going to get to the comments.
To segregate. Yeah.
Okay, well, what's happening?
We are
well,
see,
that's just it, though, yeah, that's just it, though, Brother Passions, because you see, you know, when we had the Black Wall Street of Tulsa, when you had the Black Economical Base there in Rosewood, Florida, okay, you know, we as a people were prospering. And then not to mention the fact of how we contributed to the gross national product of this country. And then just like how they were saying on New Black Panther Radio, and Dr. Bay, if you're out there, man, please call in, is that what we need to do is to get some type of legislation going on and get that damn Federal Reserve money, because, see, that's the money they stole from the Freedmen's Bureau. You see what I'm saying? And then we do got a caller there out of 336, the last 3083, just simply press 1. We'll be happy to have. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we'll let them talk. And then Be Wise Serpent says MLK was not your friend. Fact. Okay. Now, we're going to ask Mr. Be Wise to call in here and say how come MLK was not our friend. Now, one thing about MLK, I will say, is that he did realize his mistake, you know, toward the end of his life. May he rest in peace. That he integrated a burning house, and that there was a mistake for us. What we got to do is have some land. What we got to do, man, is have some commercial production. What we got to do is have produce some capital goods for us. What we got to do, you know, is control our own economical basis. You see what I'm saying? And yeah, Joe, we see your hand up. Yeah, and yes, Joe, yeah, we are going to bring you on. We are most definitely going to bring you on. And then also, too, we most definitely, after we cover our topic here, you know, that Mr. Tyrone, you know, was so kind enough, you know, to bring up and type up, we are most definitely going to open up the chat room. Okay. Now, we also need capital assets. You see, we need capital goods, you know, as well.
He said we're coming to Washington to get our check. He didn't say we was coming to Washington to get land. He said, we come into Washington to get our check, meaning cash, meaning reparations, cash, money. He woke up, realized his dream was a nightmare, and that he had integrated his people into a burning house.
Yes, sir. Okay.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah,
it was a nightmare.
Joe.
Remember, I
it
have
was
a dream.
A nightmare.
Yeah, he realized it was a nightmare. And that's when he said, look, no, we coming to Washington to get our damn check.
Well,
exactly.
I don't know
and
why you would want fake money.
I don't know why you
okay,
would.
Well, see,
I don't know why y'all don't want to pay us what you owe us.
It's not me.
I don't own
the Federal Reserve, and neither does the white man. The white man
okay,
don't own the Federal Reserve either.
Always.
Why
okay,
is
okay,
the Reserve?
But the
offshore bank cartel was owned by
okay.
Jews. Yeah, the stockholders are
it's
Jews.
It's the Ashkenazi Jews in the
Klaus Schwab.
Klaus
Schwab. The Rothschilds, the Carnegies,
blame it all on them.
Those are all Jews.
Yeah, it's all
fact.
On okay.
I mean,
all
I can't
all,
change
no.
facts.
That's
it's
England,
all,
right.
No, it, dude, just blame it all on the Jews. Anybody
King
but
Charles
white supremacy, right? It's everybody. It's somebody else's fault besides white supremacy.
Why?
And
why
those,
if someone
says
Jew,
Jews,
you're a supremacist?
And those
even Farrakhan
Jews,
knows the Jews. Even Farrakhan
and
knows
them so-called Jews, Joe Gibson. Are benefiting off the enslavement of our ancestors, and they're still benefiting, and they're benefiting off of whiteness. They're claiming white on everything. So you keep saying it's the Jews. What are these
it
Jews
is.
Identifying as? They identify
they're
as
not identifying
white.
As white. No,
yes, they
the Talmud
are.
Is not white. It is not
oh,
white.
God.
I don't suck baby penis.
Oh, my God.
That's what the
yeah.
Talmud promotes.
Yeah.
You know, look, even Farrakhan knows that it's the Jews.
Okay.
Okay, so, I mean...
Okay.
Well, I respect Minister Farrakhan, but what I'm looking at, though, is this. Is all the money that came off the continent of Al-Kibalan, the vibranium, which is now called...
Name it on
Farrakhan.
Anything else but white supremacy. It's always the Jews.
What
Jews,
about the Chinese
you know,
government now that's taking advantage
it,
of Africa?
It's always,
okay.
It's always the Chinese. It's always some other entity.
Well, they are.
The,
I mean,
the
I, you can't deny
room.
It.
No,
you
can't
deny
the racist on white supremacy. That's the fact.
How
There's
is it white supremacy?
About How
when
is it?
When I'm talking about
me?
Separation
you're,
for nationalism.
You're the people that came up with white supremacy. So you tell me, Joe Gibson. That's
I didn't come
term.
Up with it. Every race
yes,
on the planet
did.
Has been enslaved
European
one way or another.
Joe,
you're
43 million
right,
people
term,
enslaved
Joe.
Today.
We don't care,
Europeans
Joe. We don't care
term,
about
bro.
Other races. We're dealing with ourselves. Okay,
okay.
Blaming on everybody else.
Every race is not
killing
castrated.
Everybody else did this. No, Joe Gibson. European Caucasoids. Aryans did this.
There's no such thing as a Caucasoid.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yes, it
by the way, too.
Yes, it is.
And by
it
the way, Joe, glad you're here. Glad you're here, Joe.
And you
get
are
Sarge on the phone. Okay. Get Sarge on the phone because, you know, who was that there? The senator of Arizona that you were saying, Brother Jay, that says that when the dump gets convicted, is
the
that they say they're all 27 million card gang members of the NRA. Now, let me ask you this here, Joe. Now, is the state legislators going to go take away their Second Amendment rights like they did a certain group in California? Hell no. Okay.
They shouldn't take away anybody's
Biden,
Second Amendment rights. Nobody's.
Okay,
Second Amendment.
But though, Joe.
He said
okay,
it.
Okay, they did. You're right.
That's
they
why
did.
They,
you're right.
Yeah, and that's why.
What can I
and
do?
That's why they have so many of us incarcerated. That's why they have so many of us incarcerated. This is why they have black men incarcerated, you see, is because they know that, and you know that the threat will happen if those five digits came together into a fist, man. It will rock the very foundation, not only the United States economy, but the European economy, the colonizers' economy, because you see, the vibranium is what's making it.
I don't think
the
black community out there can rise up and do anything without the help of the white community because the numbers are not great enough.
The white community
will not
happen. The community could survive without the black community. That's what I think.
White backers.
I don't think y'all can survive without us. Y'all need us more than we need you.
Well, how? We can't survive in Europe just fine. Northern Europe. What are
you
talking about?
You were living in Europe just fine, Reggie.
You're right. We did conquer over
y'all
here. You're
eating,
right. We did.
Y'all were eating each other. Y'all were.
We were eating each other.
Yes. Cannibalism was rampant in Europe.
Cannibalism was
That's
European.
What you did.
Oh, you're talking about Ukraine? No, you're talking about the communism that over that was over in Ukraine.
Romania. Where
do you get your history? You just like make it up as you go along.
Let's talk about today.
No.
I got my rhetoric of white supremacy.
You're getting put on timeout because, no, this is not how this is going to work.
Okay.
We control
shit. White supremacy is a symptom of fear, period. White supremacy is a symptom of fear. You're afraid that those people that you have abused and discriminated against for hundreds of years will rise up and destroy you. You see your race is being slowly decimated. Because ain't no such thing as a pure race. That's a fallacy in the beginning. There's no such thing on the face of the earth as a pure race. So when you hear people talk about, oh, we want to keep our race pure, yeah, and they start inbreeding and creating retarded children, because that's what it do. If you don't mix, science and DNA will tell you that you water down your own DNA. And then you get these birth defects and this retardation as a symptom. So that's where white supremacy comes from. Look at your own history. The word Caucasian. So you say certain words don't exist. Well, we know that the Caucasus Mountains and where the people came from, we know that do exist.
Exactly.
So if you didn't need us, you wouldn't be afraid of us where you feel like you have to imprison us, you have to continually to keep us down economically, socioeconomically, and politically. You got to keep us uneducated.
Right.
If you were so superior, you wouldn't need to do none of that. Your superiority would always trump us. But it don't.
Exactly. Let's let them respond. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're
going to
control the microphone and let somebody just talk
over me.
Yeah,
you damn shippy. That's our program. We control
your
the airwaves
program?
Here.
Look, you invited me to come. You want to have an honest discussion. That's fine. If not, you're just an asshole.
Importantly, Joe, you don't run shit here, Joe. So you're going
to... Nobody's trying to run nothing, neither do you. You don't run nothing either.
Nope, I don't. I run this program, though. And I can mute you and unmute you whenever I feel
like it. What do you want me to do, clap?
Mute.
I'm proud of you?
Yeah, clap.
You did good. You done good, boy.
Okay, hold on, Brother Perez. I got him. Let me come over here with this blurry that I'm going to put on.
You done good, boy.
Okay, let me come on. Let me come on to Joe with this blurry right here.
I'm not your goddamn boy.
Okay.
You sound like it.
Yeah?
And you sound like a white supremacist.
Hey, look, I'm willing to have a conversation about it. You know me.
Look.
I'm willing to talk, but
fuck.
I'm not going to listen to that now. Come on.
You're in the flat.
You're on a black
Joe.
This
is RPG House, Joe. You do have a right to your opinion, but Joe, just out of curiosity, now I'm getting ready to have some fun with you. Now, what do you feel about the Dump as a human shit, you know, getting indicted, and you know he's guilty as hell, and he's the symbol, and then you got all the Proud Boys over there, man, in Washington, D.C., down there to Florida, through the Carolinas, up there, leave Trump alone, you know, and they talking about all these Second Amendment rights, what they're getting ready to do to us, and then you had the senator from Florida that said that anybody that goes against her or Trump, you got 27 million car carriers of the NRA. Now, how would you interpret something like that, Joe, if the shoe was on the other foot?
Well, I don't think they're targeting you at all. They're targeting the establishment, you know, like I was talking about, the people that are behind the scenes. They're not targeting the black community.
It's always somebody else.
Who is it?
Okay.
I told you who it is, bro. You have cognitive dissonance.
Give me some names. Joe Biden.
Give him
some goddamn
names. Donald Trump. Okay. Let me see. Who was old boy, man? I think he bought the farm. David Duke. Okay.
David Duke don't run
saying?
Nothing, Chewbacca. David Duke
don't run nothing.
Okay. And then also, too, in doing too, Joe, then let's look at these race soldiers. This is why we're saying defund the police, okay? Just like how, you know, the Becky down there in Florida that shot and killed a black woman who was seeing her by the gun, shot through the door.
Okay.
I guess number two is
okay.
Is that systematic as a policy, Chewbacca? Is that a systematic policy that we're out here promoting as me?
Yes.
As promoting? No. It's
yes.
not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
no,
is.
No, it's not. You can't.
Yes,
how are you going to tell me what I think?
How are you going to tell me what I think? And how are you going to tell me what I know? Caucasoid.
Because you don't know me, number one.
You came
one.
On my
number
program.
Two.
I know your ideology. That's
oh, really?
All
what
I
is my ideology?
White supremacy.
Okay.
That's what, really.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and also, too, Joe, you know, and I've been on your platform, man, and I've been called every nigga, every black son of a bitch.
Have I ever done that?
Other, you know.
Have
you're
I ever done that, Chewbacca?
You're
people that
on your
call
show,
into that bullshit ass
I can't
show,
speak
dude.
For other people, Chewbacca.
Okay.
Yeah, you never can. Do you take accountability for anything, Joe Gibson?
I take accountability for me.
Okay, right. Now let me ask you this here, Joe. You down there in North Carolina, right?
Yep.
North Carolina, man, was one of the most severe slave states that there ever was, okay? Like, you remember when we discussed the case of Joanne Little, right? Now,
okay, yeah.
Why North Carolina... When Joanne Little was arrested, that white police officer felt that he can go up there and violate her, okay? And she went on and killed his ass, okay? And rightfully so, to defend herself. But what made him feel it was comfortable for him to go up there and to go violate this black woman?
Because he's a sick bastard, that's why. Because he's a sick bastard, that's why.
Okay. Now, Joe, you also have to look at it, and just like what our co-producer is saying there, you know, Brother Che and Crewman, they're saying, man, this is in the Eurocentric culture and mindset. Look at King Leopold, man, and what he did
but
down there.
But you didn't
there,
know, Chewbacca, that I was half
people,
Latin,
man.
Too, right? You didn't know I was half Latin.
You don't
Latin,
give a damn, Joe. Being a
good and you didn't know that I was also president of the Latin Kings in the state of Connecticut, right? You didn't know
you don't
that, right?
Give a damn about that. Latin Kings ain't no black game.
Okay, well,
you
so, but you're running your mouth
about
the Europeans, though.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Hold
so
on,
you don't
on,
know
on,
my
on,
history.
No gang bang
what is your
now?
History?
Come on
what is your history, Joe Gibson?
Well, I wish I got
rid of you. Authoritarian white supremacist. What is your history? Besides being a descendant of rape and slave trade and pedophiles, what is your history?
I'm not the descendants of any pedophiles or racist slave traders. And you know, I don't speak
okay,
about your
on.
Mother and father, your grandparents that way either. So you know, if you're going to be disrespectful,
no,
like I said, I come back at you with the same crap. You know, or you want to have a conversation.
Okay,
there ain't no conversation with you. You're a white supremacist. Why would I have a conversation with you?
Because guess what? You're in America, buddy. You're in the Republic.
Guess what?
And you're
going
to have to deal with it one day, one way or another.
And you need to come to grips with that.
I'm not coming to terms with anything, okay? You're going to have to deal with freedom. I expound freedom.
You came on the wrong program. You're about white supremacy. That's the only
okay.
thing you're about.
I'm about the Republic of the United States of America. That's
white,
what I'm about.
White supremacy. Which is
that's what you feel. I can't change what you feel.
White supremacy. No, that's the
I
fact.
I haven't made one
yeah.
racial remark yet.
It
you're the one
nothing.
That sounds like a racist.
You're the one
to me.
That called me a boy. What are you talking about?
Oh, after you insulted me and my ancestors and everybody in between.
Oh,
come on.
Whoa, hold on, Joe.
I'm not boo-hoo.
Because
you are acting like a little boy. You are acting like a little boy. That's how little boys act. They can't talk intelligently.
And you are acting like a white supremacist.
That's just fucking nerves. That's something that
I know.
A nerve for you to have to resort to that.
I
language.
Know the audacity. The audacity.
The audacity. The audacity for you.
Shut up.
The audacity for you to try to have a conversation with a
program. Fuck off our program.
I can have a conversation with you all day long.
Fuck him.
I can have a conversation with you all day long. I used to do it in the joint. I used to do it in the joint with your kind.
Joe hung up on us. Okay, Joe hung up on us.
I
okay, so we're
him.
Gonna
fuck him. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Okay, well, you're the co-executive producer, sir, and you do have that right. Now, we're going to read some comments that we got coming on here from, let's see, D.Y.'s ass serpent, okay? You actually need to segregate, but before you can segregate, you must first deintegrate, okay? Get no argument for me with that. MLK was not your friend. Oh, yes, he was. MLK, you know, he died at a young age, and MLK realized
bullshit. You're the coward, and you're the white supremacist
and then,
that we thought you were using such language like that, but you would never say none of that bullshit to our face. You a coward, run away, just like any other little boys who fear men like me. You ain't no man. You're a fucking joke. You're a fucking cockazoid. You are the scum of the earth. You are a parasite to this fucking planet. Ever since you came out them goddamn caves, all you've done is spread murder, death, and destruction everywhere you fucking went. The fuck off our program with that bullshit.
Okay, the co-executive producer spoken. Now, we got B Wise Ass Serpent here in our chat room, and B Wise Ass, he's welcome to call, and I think I know who that is. You know who I think that is, that B Wise Ass Serpent folks? I think
Elf.
That's Sarge.
Hell.
Okay, now, he,
really,
okay, he realized, yeah, B-E-W,
you fucking degenerate fucking cockazoid. Yeah. Inferior fucking being. You motherfuckers can't even survive on a goddamn planet without assistance. You need fucking copper tone to go out in the fucking sun. You fucking degenerate, fucking low-life, two-legged land rat. If you don't get the fuck off our program with your bullshit in the fucking chat, cockazoid.
That's right.
Okay, now. Okay, Brother Paris, okay, I'm just going to read a few more comments and then we're going to continue our discussion. Okay, this individual states that Joe always trying to capitalize off of my post of knowledge. He would not ever mention Federal Reserve if I had not first posted. Okay, as we all know, the Federal Reserve banking system, and this is what we're talking with Dr. Truth Bay about,
you
okay, that is a private corporation. Okay,
you
and Dr. Bay...
Yeah, y'all love the cold because y'all come from fucking caves. But I'm from fucking Denver, motherfucker. I've been in cold majority of my life. The fuck are you talking about? We can't handle
and
the
I
cold.
Love the heat.
It's called fucking
and
cold.
I love the heat.
You layer up. You prepare for the elements.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You're the fucking coward,
Joe.
I don't ever call into this program ever again with the bullshit. Chewbacca, don't ever invite him on our program ever again in life. He can eat shit die for all I care.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You the
yes,
coward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can't even face facts. You have cognitive dissonance. You're a punk ass. You're a punk ass bitch. You are a fucking inferior fucking being. You will never be on the equivalency of us. We the original man. Y'all trying to imitate us, not the other way around.
Pretty much. Yeah, and that's why you know they women go down there to the Fredericks of Hollywood all the time over there off of Hollywood Boulevard.
Running away from what? You're the one that's running away from the fact. You're the one that's running away.
Okay. Now,
are we begging for money? No, it's a debt that's owed, Joe Gibson. Ain't no begging. Y'all the ones that get checks. We don't get shit.
They rob, steal, and kill. It's time for us to get ours.
Yeah.
By any means.
Then, that's what the minister said. And he too died at the age of 39. Okay, our chat room is open, and we're getting some insults in here. So they're saying brothers
believe,
are distracted.
Like I told you, the last time you called into our program, the Negros and the Negroes are coming for our goddamn check. Yeah, damn, Skippy, we're going to take it. So go run and tell all your white supremacists on fucking Stormfront, the Daily Stormer, all that fucking bullshit that y'all on 4chan, Reddit, all that bullshit, all them white supremacist fucking think tanks and networks that you're on. Go tell them the Negroes are coming for their fucking check. Yeah, you can wait all you want.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we got this other one here stating that Sister AJ in Florida that they mentioned on Black Power Radio. Okay, this person, B Wise Ass Serpent, states that the sister was naive, though. B Wise Ass Serpent says that sister should have let law enforcement do
it. Yeah, you better
job.
Hope it never
come over there.
You better hope we
over
never
to
cross
that cross
the
door.
And that's not a threat. That is definitely a public service announcement, like that goddamn rod in fucking Arizona issued out.
The people and serve them with justice. Be a penalty.
Go wrap yourself in
for all the crimes they've done against our people.
Everything's the Jews. They never want to take accountability for what their ancestors did and what they continue to do. It's always something else.
Yeah.
It's the Jews. It's the globalists. It's the elitists. It's the Illuminati. Everything gets your pale ass.
Okay. Now, Joe Gibson left something here in our chat room, and if you're still listening, Joe, you're welcome to call back, and I'll deal with you. He says, now, and I don't appreciate this, Joe Gibson, and so I'm going to read it, and I never did this in your chat room. You cowards ran away just like many other little boys who fear men like me. First of all, Joe Gibson, I do not fear you. The co-producer does not fear you. If any damn thing we were trying to do is reason with your ass and let you see what it's like and what the problem is, man, and try to solve it, okay, before it does go down. And then Joe says, why did you hang up? Because, Joe, you got out of line, man. You wouldn't let the man finish. And that is the co-producer producer of our show. Now, also, T.P. Wise Ass Serpent says MLK was not his real name.
I didn't hang up. I'm still here, Joe. You're the one that's not here.
Okay.
You're just
A threat out here. Okay, now Joe puts a threat here. Anytime, Greensboro, North Carolina, UL. Okay, see, Joe, you shouldn't say things like that. Then, silly, y'all need to grow up. I'm not Sarge. Stop being childish, okay? All right, you're not Sarge, okay? Well, if you know Sarge, have him call in. But what it is here, people, okay? Now, Joe Gibson leaves another insult here, and Joe, this is unnecessary, okay? You cannot handle the cold with your weak skin. Joe, you damn right, I can't handle the cold. But, Joe, come out here to where I'm at in Las Vegas, man. We at about 100 degrees right now. And, Joe, you got to leave your sunscreen at home, and I will show you that why we are not the same. Then Joe says, you're a punk ass. You got his ass running away. Joe, you may go fuck yourself, okay? You know, there's no reason for you to leave this stuff like here. You just look like you're begging for money. Give me that check. Well, Joe, to quote the words of one of our icons, we are not sitting at a lunch counter begging for a cup of coffee. Joe Gibson says, come and take it. Oh, well, okay. Yeah, we know how to take it. You know what I'm saying? When you see his ass out there and he needs a helping hand, don't give it to him. Whatever business that he's in, don't patronize the business. Whatever business of people that he knows in business, don't patronize it. Let's learn from them. Montgomery bus boycott. Okay, these wise ass serpents says Sarge ain't even close to my level. Okay, Joe Gibson, why y'all waiting? Yeah, I'll be waiting, yo. Go wrap yourself a Jew friend anytime. This is Joe Gibson's shit, okay? I take account for you, so when I see you, I will. Joe, don't threaten nobody here, okay?
Yeah,
don't
you
do it,
mister.
Don't threaten nobody here, Joe.
You come on
don't
a wet platform talking shit, really? And you think we're going to condone that shit?
Let him do all the threatening.
And he says he does not stand in line at Gold's Gym, Battleground. I'm there every morning. Hey, Shabaka, I stand up for me anytime. Hey, man, check this out. Joe, it's not about, you know, you stand up for you anytime, okay? But you could best believe ain't no brother on this podcast, man, a punk, okay? Now,
well, you can
what
say
happens,
what you
Joe,
want,
you get your
when
ass,
you want,
you
on your own goddamn platform. Don't come on our platform with that bullshit, Joe. You don't run shit here.
And then he says, I say what I want when I want it. Okay, well, you see, Joe, what you're doing is you are proving our point. Right there, okay? Yep. You are proving my point right there. All this I'm seeing right here, Brother Chad, is like what you said, white supremacy.
Supporter. You think he entitled to say whatever and do whatever. You do that shit on your own platform. Don't come on our motherfucking platform with that bullshit. You the punk. You sound like a straight up punk ass neo-Nazi, fucking KKK, NRA, card-carrying white supremacist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sounds like a punk with this bullshit. Joe, no, Joe, you shouldn't say things.
You're entitled.
Okay, well,
you're
Joe
says
that he's entitled.
Yeah, you're entitled.
Pretty much, because keep in mind, Joe, this crew, man, is not going to sit up there and sing "We Shall Overcome," man. No. Okay, so now, but at least he's stating how he honestly feels. Okay, which is great. Okay, he's stating how he honestly feels. And Joe, I'm not going to sit up here and type threats up like this here, man, on Blog Talk. And if you want, Joe, we do have a legal team right here, man. We'll just go on here, man, and we'll just copy it down to see if you can go join your boy the dump on an indictment, man, because you're not going to come up here threatening nobody. No, you ain't going to come up here threatening nobody. Okay. Yeah, just say,
ain't nothing intelligent about nothing you said this whole time.
Yeah, all
you're
saying, I'm just saying here is just a bunch of threats right here. You see what I'm saying? And damn, Joe, I'm going to have to start putting you in the same category that I put the panties in.
Yes, you don't want to work for the police.
Joe, I'm not no snitch, Joe.
You probably back the blue and everything.
You're good for that. Yeah, well, Joe, you know what I'm saying? Well, Joe, sorry you got your feelings hurt, man. You did it to yourself. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not afraid of you, cat. You know, I'm just going to tell you that right now.
We done seen pictures of you. You ain't shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. And he's saying, yeah, okay, OPK. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Joe, you don't want to go there, Joe. I mean, why are you so pissed off, Joe? You know, why don't you type your comment up, man, saying that what you were saying? We'll beat it on there. Okay, now we got B-Wise ass serpents up here saying something. This is
now
French. A-U. Okay, yeah. All A-U, let's see. R-E-T-O-I-R is 4. Okay. So if anybody's got any access to a computer right fast to pull that up. But however, like I said, this is proving our point right here. Oh, and we got 336 in here as well, too. We think we know who that is. The last 3083. Okay, just go ahead there, brother, and press 1. We'd be more than happy, man. You know,
hey, no, brother,
here.
That's punk-ass Joe Gibson.
Oh, it is 336?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to say something, and Mr. Cope, executive producer, if you want to bring him in, fine. It's not fine. Keeping it moving right along. Okay. Now,
to keep it up.
Yeah, now with him going off the way he did, okay, simply has proved our point on this platform that we've been saying for the last 7 years, okay? As long as we as a people, black family, are going out there hating each other, okay, killing each other, guys like this here gets his jollies off, okay? Like when they had the Klansmen that came up there that did the live feed talking about how they kick off the guns off the railroad trains and leave them there on the south and west side of Chicago, and then our people go up there and kill each other, you see, is because this is why we got the homeschool IE, you know, to stop this self-destruction. They're manipulating the self-destruction, as Dr. Francis Crest Wilson has stated in the ISIS papers, Brother Che, and I give you respect on that one, just as Dr. Claude Anderson had stated 10 years ago that anti-hatred toward black people is going to get thicker and thicker. This dude just proved it. You say, okay, yeah, Joe left the conversation. Be wise ass serpents left the conversation. Who knows, man? You're probably going to go put their Oh, okay. All righty. You're the co-executive producer, sir. There ain't nothing I could do about that. But moving right along, you know, getting back, you know, with the disenfranchisement of it is right here, folks. What you just witnessed here in the last 15 minutes had proved all this. Now, what would the guys like Medgar say and Martin Luther King would say, you know, about these individuals acting like this here, you know, 60 years and 55 years later? Okay. As Dr. King said, is that he led our people into a burning house. This just proves dispersal with Trump. You see what I'm saying? Hey, we got to protect ourselves, black family. You see what I'm saying? We got to protect ourselves. You'll say, and then on top of it, too, as I just proved in there, when you get on that very, very sensitive subject about how our women were violated by white men on the plantation system, this strikes a nerve. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, we all saw the motion picture Mandingo. Well, the white man was busy going, you know, seeing, you know, his bed wench. So the white woman got jealous of the bed wench. And then she decided to go tell the black man, well, you better do it to me. I'm going to tell him that you raped me. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. And then this illusion of inclusion. Okay, as Brother Parr so well puts it. See, Joe Gibson proved the illusion of inclusion. You see what I mean? And then not to mention the fact that as many times I've been on his podcast, I was called every nigga, black son of a bitch, this, that, there, the other, you know. But I wrote it out and went on there and made my point, you know what I mean? But however, Joe, you feel the way that you feel. And you brought that on yourself, man, you know, from my witnessing, from what I've witnessed, you know, and we got it here on tape. We got them on tape, folks. Yeah, we most definitely do. Okay? And the only thing is that for some odd reason, you know, and also, too, you Biden supporters are still waiting for you to call in, and the number to call is 516-418-5996. We're still waiting. Okay, and Sister Soldier, if you're out there, if any of your people out there, ma'am, you know, please get with us and give us a call when you can of the great knowledge that you had dropped in the late 1990s, what you did on the Phil Donahue show with Cornel West. Okay, now, what it is, Black Salmon, is that in our collective memory of the oppression, okay, that we had, okay, is that it's kind of like that they got an ingrained, you know, weakness ingrained in us. Well, you know, it took them 300 years to do it. Now, this isn't racism. This isn't hatred. These are just some stone cold hard facts. Okay, when Donald Trump had came up there in 2016 and he represented the white supremacy. Just like as you were saying, Brother Che, the woman who sat up there and said, you know, the members of the NRA, all 75 million of them, they're going to lock and load, you know, if Trump is convicted. Okay. Now, where the law enforcement agencies at, you know, going up against them? And then also, too, let's look at what happened with Mr. James Byrd in the mid-1990s. Where they just took that brother and tied him to the back of a pickup truck, and they dragged that man right there. You see?
Yeah.
They don't like
talking
about it. They don't like
talking
about it.
They've been going that type of shit for centuries. They don't want to be accountable for
nothing.
That's
indeed.
Why I asked the motherfucker.
Exactly.
Are you accountable for me? I'm accountable for me. Okay, you're accountable for you.
Yeah.
But what about
you? Yeah, but yet, though, he has this platform. But he talks about this platform that he has for the Republic. You know what I'm saying? And but wait a minute, though, man. But you say that you're just accountable for you. But yet, though, you have guests on your show, man, and that I've witnessed. Well, I've been the subject of this verbal abuse, and I've cussed him out and stuff like that. The day of the ass scratch is over, homie. We're not ass scratching no more. Kim Scott's and Warlocks and Herschel Walkers, man, these dudes do not speak for us on a collective basis no more. And they know it. They say because they're on puppet strings. They say,
I think
Romel
was trying to say
Scott.
Something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anchor Man.
No. I just said, you know, earlier, man, that motherfucker just proved our point, just reinforced what Shabaka said. And what he was trying to do was defocus us and throw us off topic, mess up the algorithms, because we got a good flow jumping off of those four right here. This is the square table, you know what I'm saying? The table of kings came in and tried to disrupt the peace. And, you know, fuck him. And you did right, General Paris, by taking him off. And now, listen, you know, when motherfuckers come on the show like that, man, we just got to stay focused on the top and boot them off if they're trying to throw us off. Fuck them. You did right, Paris.
This is distraction.
No. He's the co-executive producer. You know what I'm saying? You know, hey, you know, he's got that right, you know. And then Paris, they tried to reason with him and talk with him, and then reparations. And then, like I was stated there on New Black Power Radio last night with Brother Akbar and Dynamite Lightning and Dr. Truth Bay. And Dr. Bay, if you're out there, please call in, ma'am. If you're out there, Imam, please call in. Okay, because see, what it is that when you ingrain in the people generation after generation after generation, okay, of being subservient to the oppressor, of being accustomed to having your ass whooped and a boot in your ass, and any time that you can go out there and be lynched and castrated. You see, you're dealing with barbarians. You see? And you told him right, Brother Che, you're dealing with barbarians. Okay? And why do you think when they made the motion picture, Black Panther got the rave refuse, is that it did. But then what had happened is when you saw that we come from a culture as well, too. And you remember the scene where Killmonger and King T'Challa, they went round two, and King T'Challa told Killmonger, hey, man, come join us, and this, that, there, the other, we need you. And Killmonger says, no, I must rather do what our ancestors did off the coast of North Carolina when they saw that they were in bondage and couldn't get back home because they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have supersonic transport. All they had was that slave ship that brought them from their home. They backed themselves off into the water. You see? That's what they did. They backed themselves off into the water. And as has been stated, you know, of those before us, what are you going to do? Are you going to die on your feet or are you going to live on your knees? Say, and I believe even the Native Americans have the saying is that a coward dies 1,000 deaths, a warrior only dies one.
Yep.
See. Yeah, that's real talk. And then Zuckerberg and Stinky Bird, okay. Stinky Bird, you said that you got in a Twitter account of mine that's no longer in existence, so you killed it. Okay, and Zuckerberg, you guys put me on your suspension list, you know what I'm saying? And you notified me that you put my posts, you know, way at the bottom of the feed. So I'm just going to call you all bottom feeders, okay, scavengers. Yeah, that's what you catch all over there in Silicon Valley, scavengers. And then you got your artificial intelligence up there ruining and manipulating people's lives. Oh, download the app. And you're up here pulling everybody's personal information.
Yep.
Yeah, see. And then you coming up here with this transgender bullshit. Yeah, now that's enough saying to you folks I want to get on tonight. Okay, I just about had it with that, okay, because you got Cop Milo over there pushing this. You know, President Museveni of Uganda, he said, hey, U.S., come take your aid, man. Nah, we ain't recognizing with that crap. Now, you got up there with a child who was in school. She got suspended in school now because I saw a video or what have you. She stated he got suspended from school because he said that there are only two genders, male and female, and they suspended him from school. Okay, you see what the power structure is doing right here? You see what I'm saying? But we noticed that Joe Gibson, you know, does not say things about it, you know. But what it is, though, is that they're going to try to push that crap, you know, on us. you know, try to force feed us with that. You know what I'm saying? You know, but men and women can't dig on each other anymore. You know, then you got some dog-faced Joe, man, with a 5 o'clock shadow, man. You know what I'm saying? Swinging the damn Johnson, talking about he's a woman. Man, get the hell out of here. You know what I'm saying? But, however, and as you pointed it out so well, Brother Paris, all that is, see, that's Eurocentric shit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because on an Afrocentric trip, you know, emphasis.
They had kings that was dressed up as, okay, let me ask y'all something. Do y'all know how what the Victoria's Secret is all about?
Enlighten me, man, because Hollywood is full of Victoria's Secret shops.
Yeah, so in Europe, the king at the time changed his name to Victoria, and that was the secret. Because they had holes. This is why, this is why our people got to see Buck Breaking, because the documentary breaks it all down. Like, them mugs was dressing up as women back then, going out prostituting themselves. This is the king of the country doing this. So, yeah, this is part of their culture, definitely part of their culture. This is all their shit. It's not our shit at all.
Right, because in our cultures, you know, we place emphasis on procreation of life. That only happens between a union between a man and a woman. See, it's because, you know, you got to have, you know, the male element and the female element, which creates life. You see what I mean?
Well, they're at war with nature. That is, they're the only creature on this planet that is not supposed to be here. Like, literally, the nectar kills them. The sun kills them. Animals kill them. The environment kills them.
And to prove your point on that there, Brother Paris, I did research out of Ethiopia, and it was quite common for our sisters, and I don't know if they were of the monarchy or the you know, black women in general, that they used to walk with the animals of nature, the lioness, the pantheress, cheetah, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they didn't attack her, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't wild and savage. But then when a Caucasian goes over there to the continent, the first thing he wants to do is start killing off all the wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need that there to balance nature. Okay, and then now Joe Gibson had talked about the Chinese, and if you're listening, Joe, or listening to the backtrack on this, okay, yeah, we as a people, yeah, we got to get the Chinese up out of this, because what's happening is you get these daggone neo-colonialists who is going out there taking these loans out from China, and China's loaning them the money knowing they can't take it back. So what they do, they go in and they seize the land, you know, as collateral for the loan. Okay, but as Julius Malema has stated, okay, like they did with the Boers in South Africa, like what they did with the Dutch and the British, no. They got to unify the continent into one nation, and then we'll start moving and shaking. And then as far as these Federal Reserve notes is concerned, the wise-ass serpent was saying, it's going to come to the point, man, that the only thing they're going to be good for is to wipe your ass with. You know, so we definitely has got to get us, you know, some type of currency or what have you, you know, to back our trade.
What is that sound?
What's that? Somebody? Yeah, somebody sleeping?
Did somebody pass out?
Brother Tyrone. Okay,
no,
Brother Tyrone.
No, that's not me. No.
Romero? Okay,
Brother Romero.
Romero.
Brother Romero.
I just sent me a text saying, could we hear him? I can't hear him now.
I'm going to look for him. I don't see where he's at. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, though, is that the materials that came off the continent, you know, of Africa, Kibalon or what have you, you see, the world economy is bad, you know, and then just like, and just like what the orange dude
was
saying,
can hear you
is
now.
That Africa,
Hold on, Shabaka, Ramel's back.
Okay, you back with us, Ramel?
Yeah, I'm right here. My bad. I had an aggravation jumping off over here. I had to mute myself. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
can you hear me? Yes, sir. Okay, and then when you look at the power of nature that the queens of Ethiopia had, you see what I'm saying? And then Queen Amenhotep, you know, who had 20,000 troops up under her command, you know what I'm saying, of Zazal. But you see, this is the history they don't want our people to know about. See, this is the history that they hate. Okay, this is the history they want to keep us ignorant on. They say this is why they wanted to keep us divided. And then, of course, Robert Mugabe, you know, who transitioned a few years ago, as you remember, when he came to power of Zimbabwe, okay, he simply told, you know, to shake the spot. You see what I mean? But they didn't do that in Tanzania. You see what I'm saying? The boys are still there, you see, because this all-inclusiveness, folks, it ain't working, okay?
No,
and,
it's not.
And it ain't about hating any other group or anything like that, but the only thing we're doing is advocating that we defend ourselves on a physical plane, an economical plane, a mental plane, and a spiritual plane.
Well, all we're doing is the same thing they're doing, but they don't want us to do it. They are for self-preservation.
Yeah, exactly.
They're for preservation of their people and their race.
You see? Yeah, exactly. No, you're right about that, Ramel. I mean, like, when you look at a colony of bees, right? Okay, you look at that beehive, man, you got all of them to deal with. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of it as well, too, man, you know, just like when you look at a... Yeah, go ahead.
I said it's the attack of the killer African beast stinging them on the ass.
Yeah, exactly. And then keep in mind it's the African killer bees, you know, that are the worst. You see what I'm saying? Hey, Brother Che.
Yes.
Okay, you're in the studio, right?
Yes.
Okay, if you can, man, on your device, man, if you can go into the chat room, man, and if you could print a copy of all this here, what old Joe said right here.
I already took pictures of it, Shabaka. I can send you the pictures.
Good.
I just messaged you.
Good. Yeah, okay, good. You see, because this is some very, very incriminating stuff there, Joe. It really is, and you're not going to come threat nobody on this platform, man, because we don't do it to you. Yeah, see, guess who we got in the conversation, ladies and gentlemen?
Sarge in the building.
In this corner, out of Carolina, the chat room is open, and we see Sarge has just joined the conversation. Well, Sarge, you know the number, Sarge. Give us a call. And also, too, Sarge, I'm very, very curious of what you got to say. In regard to your main man, Danny, who just got indicted. Okay. Now, me personally, if I was down to my last $20, people, I would walk right over here to this casino and bet that this dude, the dump, is not going to get convicted. Okay. It looks mighty bad for him, so they say, yeah. But he'll walk. It's because, see, what will happen is that the United States has never convicted a president of any crime, okay? You had Tricky, who was guilty. He resigned. I'm not a crook. You had Andrew Johnson, okay? He missed it by one vote.
No.
Bill
Clinton. Yeah. He's going to tell you something, Shabaka. He said, I'm going to tell you all about it.
Tell you. Okay, well, Sarge, you know the digits, man. You know what I'm saying? Dial them up. 516-418-5996. Okay, what you getting ready to tell my ass, Sarge? Okay, Sarge. And we're still waiting on you, you know, and you're not one of Biden supporters, Sarge. Uh-oh, there he is, ladies and gentlemen.
He has made his
His hand up already, and he's calling off of his block number. In this time, gang, coming somewhere out of the South, the one and only Sarge. Okay, Sarge, so you want to beat over the head with the napkin holder this time?
Now, you know, when you throw down the gauntlet to me, I'm finna pick it up and hurl it back at you. And you threw down the gauntlet. Lord have mercy, I got a lot to say about this one with this here relentless persecution of Donald John Trump, one of the finest presidents we've had in this century or the last. Now, but that's an opinion.
Well, that's an opinion,
and you can disagree with it, but there are facts involved in this case that bear repeating, and I'd like to bring them to your attention, if you don't mind.
By all means, Sarge, go for it.
All right, now, let's look at the indictment, because that's let's get cut through the chase. Forget about all the other stuff. All
so
the other stuff.
You finally get a copy of the indictment, Sarge.
You have
okay,
a copy of
36 counts.
Yes.
No, I'm asking.
Do you notice that count 1 to 31 are literally an admission that Donald Trump lawfully possessed those documents by the very nature of the charge they are preferring against him, because it is a violation of 18 United States Code 793, not unlawful possession of classified documents. They are admitting he had a right to possess them. He was lawfully in possession of them. Okay, so we get that out of the way. We don't need to talk about whether or not he was unlawfully possessing classified documents. That's not even pertinent. Right?
Okay.
Now, what they are saying is, because of a ruling by the 11th Circuit with regard to the special master case, remember that special master that the defense, Donald Trump's lawyers wanted to have introduced into the Mar-a-Lago case to review the documents so it would be suitable for retention by the Department of Justice? Remember that? Remember that controversy about that? Well, the 11th Circuit made a ruling in the case. They said they were going to give utmost deference to the Department of Justice classifying a document, and the defense and the Department of Justice decided to classify these documents as defense documents so they could shoehorn Donald Trump's possession of them, his lawful possession of them, into the case they got against him right now. So that's what they
did. Okay, now, can I ask you a question? Now, how many charges they got against Donald Trump?
They got 38. Let me tell you what the others are.
38 charges. Okay, what are they, Sarge?
I'd like you to note, and this is important to note, you got the 31 charges of violation of 18 United States Code 793. Then you got the other crimes. All of them are process crimes arising out of the illegitimate raid on Mar-a-Lago, which was basically a Presidential Records Act case that is entirely civil and has no criminal penalties attached to it whatsoever. They shoehorned this to make it into a criminal case.
Okay. Now, keep in mind, Sarge, is that Trump has got his supporters out there in the streets of Florida. I mean, real thick. You know what I mean? And it's to the point now, Sarge, where we're going to have to advocate that black people, man, start locking and loading, Sarge. You know what I mean? Because you see, Sarge, about me, as I stated before, man, I went deep behind enemy lines, Sarge, real deep. Places like Montana.
Anything could happen, because we've never seen anything like this. So I'm willing to grant you there, Brother Shabaka. Anything is likely now, because all bets are off. You don't do this kind of thing in the United States. You do it in Cuba or Ecuador or East Germany or North Korea or some other country like that, where the rule of law is subjective and depends on whom you want to put your power screws to. You don't do that here, and they just did it. They crossed the Rubicon. So I say to you, anything is possible.
Oh, yeah, Sarge. Now, let me ask you this here, Sarge. Okay, now, you know, with these 38 charges that they got on him, right? Okay. Now, can I ask you a question? Now, Sarge, how come Donald Trump is not in custody right now after he's been indicted? How come he's not wearing his orange suit or his blue suit?
I'll tell you why. First of all, I imagine there are many considerations at stake here. Remember what the purpose of bail is. Purpose of bail is to ensure the appearance of a defendant at trial. Now, Donald Trump, as a practical matter, as a matter of law, is to be protected at all times by the United States Secret Service. They're essentially like a de facto marshal service that accompany him 24 hours a day. Remember, he's an innocent man.
Okay.
He's accompanied by federal agents who are sworn to uphold federal law. And they are with him 24 hours a day wherever he goes. So this court is essentially saying not only do they not have to assume the logistical burden of keeping him in custody with Secret Service agents to guard, because that's what the law requires, even if he's in jail, but they have them there to assure that he's going to show up in court anyway. The court has little doubt that he will appear in court. That's the only purpose of bail, to ensure the likelihood of a defendant appearing at trial because of the presumption of innocence. And in this case, we have a number of extraordinary circumstances which ensure the likelihood of that. And to say nothing of the fact of that people are already saying it's a political persecution. And if you inhibit him in his ability to campaign by keeping him in jail, what does that look like?
Yeah.
So you've got the practical considerations, you've got the logistical considerations, you've got the considerations of looking like a politically motivated prosecution, which it already does no matter what they do, and they don't. I could probably say, why add on to it? And it makes sense. Even if I believe he was guilty and I was the prosecution, I'd go along with this.
Now, me, if I was the prosecutor, I would reject the bail, have the judge reject the bail, haul his ass right there, throw him into the detention center, man, and have his ass walk the concrete like the rest of us do.
I'm sure
and
you
let
would
him
have.
Put his life on the line.
I'm sure you would have.
You know what I mean?
Remember,
okay,
the Secret Service doesn't matter
what. Okay, with his Secret Service, hold on, Sarge. With his Secret Service, for all practical purposes, man, them is his cronies in jail, man, to watch his back. But however, when our people go there, man, you know, everybody's life is in jeopardy when you go into jail.
Okay, you do know what administrative segregation is now, don't you? I'm sure you do.
Okay, administrative segregation.
You really think they would put the President of the United States in Gen Pop with Secret Service agents? Come on. No, they're not going to do it.
Sorry.
I understand you have a vindictive attitude toward Donald Trump. I get it. I get all the millions of other people out there that have that same attitude.
Okay.
But as a practical matter, that doesn't wash. It doesn't really make any sense in this particular case because of the peculiar circumstances involved.
Okay, well, let's see what's peculiar with Trump. Okay, he had a raggedy-ass porno tramp, Stormy Daniels, okay? He married a porno broad, you know what I'm saying? He's been married 3 times. And Trump even stated, man, in the 1990s when he was hosting all the fights over there at the Trump Plaza in Taj Mahal on the boardwalk, man, and Donald Trump made this statement. If he was to run for president, he should run as a Republican because these Republicans are some of the most biggest dumbos that that's going. Now, with him being elected president, that proved his point. Then when he had his first attorney general that looked like Dumbo with the ears, old Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, and he was the first one to jump ship. And now, see, Dumbo wasn't so dumb because he knew what Trump was all about. And then whatever happened to his main man, Rudy Giuliani? Oh, yeah, that's right. They lifted his law license in the great state of New York. Okay, and then just the fervor of the crap that fool had going on. Then here comes
critical race theory. And then you got the transvestites, the Pankies, down here in Florida. We don't want black people knowing how bad we treated them. We just want them to sit up there and say, yes, that's a child. Yeah, don't be the good nigga. Yeah, boss, you the boss, boss. And Sarge, it's always a pleasure debating with you and what have you, man. But drop some more gems, Sarge. And I know Trump is your man. Now, come on. What can you say for your man right there, Sarge? I know you got his back. How can he
this is entirely a put-up job. This persecution, I'm not calling it prosecution, has no validity whatsoever, certainly not constitutionally. Article 2, Section 1 says the executive power shall be vested in a singular president of the United States, not in the executive bureaucratic agencies. Okay? It says clearly all of their powers originate with the president. The power is invested in the president, and he delegates it to the bureaucrats and the bureaucracy. So here's the problem, and that's the problem they're going to run into with this prosecution.
I would say it was a senile corruptocrat
in the White House. He happens to be holding the title of the job, and the same applies to him too, as much as I despise him. About the Constitution.
Now let me ask you this here, Sarge. Okay, what about that old senile corrupt so-and-so that you had there who was elected in 1980, who was the former governor of California, that signed into law the Mulford Act, which was a law illegal within itself that violated the Second Amendment?
Okay, I've already told you what I feel about this. I'm not changing my position because I have principles and I do things out of principle. Excuse me. Any infringement on the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, that, that law is an infringement. So I've told you that clearly over and over again.
Yeah, you did. Okay, but see, but what's happening here, though, Sarge, you know, is that you got the Biden regime want to take away everybody's weapons. And then, of course, I guess you heard that Joe Gibson, he got mad at us, man, and him and our co-executive producer got off into it, and Joe is sending me a bunch of insults right here and what have you. You know what I'm saying? Now, we try to have a reasonable conversation with Joe, Sarge. But what it is, though, Sarge, is, you know, as a black man, okay, is that one thing that white America does not want to see is an armed black militia, okay? It's because look at all the black veterans that have been in every war, like Brother Paris has said, you know, I think you said that there, Brother Paris, about 2-3 episodes ago, is that our people, man, have fought in every war from the Revolutionary War to the War of 1812 to the Civil War to the Philippine conflict of 1898, okay, to World War One, to World War Two, to Korea, the Vietnam conflict, Desert Storm, let's see, the Iraq situation, you see what I'm saying, and Afghanistan, okay. But first,
Okay, check this out. I want to talk to Sarge about what me and you was talking about. Sarge, are you there?
Yes, sir. I certainly am.
Sarge, love and respect, man. I just wanted to formally extend an invitation so you can be part of Chewbacca's Black Experience Talk Panel full time, and you will be the antithesis specialist if you're.
Oh, I'd be the antithesis to your thesis.
That's what we're offering to.
Assume we're trying to reach a synthesis of ideas. Then we're engaging in Hegelian dialectics here.
Yes,
civilized. Pretty much, yes.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Okay, so I
do appreciate
your
edit. You're all
What's
over
that?
The map as far as the time you're on. What time are you on now? I mean, you're all over the place. You're here, there, and everywhere. What are you doing, man? What kind of pets are you keeping these days?
Okay, all right. Okay, Sarge, you know we have Grand Rising every Friday, okay? That comes on at 11 a.m. your time. That means I got to get up out the bed real early in the morning at 8 a.m. my time. Our regular scheduled show, Sarge, is Tuesdays at 6 p.m. in the Pacific, which is 9 p.m. in the Eastern time zone, Sarge. You see what I mean? And spread the word of the show, man. Come one, come all. Is because, you see, the thing is, Sarge, it's like this, man. Okay, you got white supremacists, okay, and you have black militants, okay, you have integrationalists, you have white liberals, you see what I mean? And what is going on, man, the fervor that your 45 president, you know, has caused in the last 4 years, man, is quite incredible, okay? Now, the Proud Boys, man, they getting their dog whistles, man. They're getting ready to lock and load. And then as our co-producer, Brother Chad, stated that even, and who was that there, Brother Chad, the governor of Arizona that said that in regard to Trump, or was it?
It was actually a GOP nominee that ran in 2011, 2022. Her name was Katie something. I got to pull it up again. I just had a Katie Lake.
Okay.
No, not Hobbs, Lakes.
Yeah, okay. And then also, too,
what
she
mean,
sounds
Carrie
just
Lake?
Like I think that's who it was, Sarge.
Yeah, Carrie Lake. Her name is Carrie Lake.
Yeah, Carrie Lake.
Yeah, okay, and then what has happened is that she sent out a dog whistle, you know, to everybody in NRA to lock and load behind Donald Trump. Okay, see, so what you're getting ready to have right here, folks, and the only thing I can say is that we in the black community, we got to quit killing each other because the handwriting is on the wall. They're not going to care what crew you're from or what set you from or what have you in Los Angeles or on the north or the west side, the south side of Chicago or Philadelphia or Baltimore, Maryland. They're getting ready to come hunt us black folks. Okay.
They already doing it. They're killing us left and right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Every day.
No, they're going to
be killed by them. So we need
to
be killing
just like,
twice as much. Like,
yeah, we got to defend ourselves.
We got to take
to defend ourselves. Okay, you know, like the ancestors said, by any means necessary, because this is what it's coming to. And keep in mind, man, I'm in the twilight of my lifetime, you know what I mean? Okay, so like I said, I got to pass on down, man, what I've lived through, man, so your generation, man, can make the right decision, is because they are not playing. Just as Dr. Claude Anderson had said 10 years ago, Brother Paris, when you showed me the video, is that he said that we black folk are going to be the minority, and what's going to happen is you're going to have a bunch of immigrants coming in here, and all of them are going to band against us. And then when you got these dumbass mayors like Eric Adams, Hank Coon, Karen Bass, and Karen Bass in Los Angeles right there, London Bridge up there, and what's that there, Boys Town, and then you got the sick police chief down there in Memphis. Oh, well, we don't see color. We protect everybody and all that. But fool, quit sipping the Kool-Aid that Jim Jones gave you in 1978. They're going to come kill your black asses because you're black. They don't give a damn if you're a Republican or a Democrat or what have you, man. They don't care if you're Haitian. They ain't going to care if you're Dominican. They ain't going to care if you're an American or a Ghanaian or an Azanian or a Kenyan. You see what I'm saying? Or a Puerto Rican or a Brazilian. Hey, man. You black, you got that kinky hair, right? Uh-huh. And
right,
your woman, you know, it's got that. Yeah. Yes, sir, go ahead.
No, I was going to tell Sarge, I want to introduce you to our new investigative reporter, Tyrone Jones, a.k.a. General Sword, the master of reality. I want to formally introduce y'all two brothers.
Hey, brother. Salam.
Hey,
it's good to meet you, Sarge. Yeah, I've been listening.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah. Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, and that there, yeah, and the sword right there, you know, he came in and he came up with tonight's subject, and he came in and he got to slashing that sword like a samurai. He most certainly did. And also, too, by the way, and by the way, Sarge, call up your boy Joe Gibson, man. He,
yeah,
he got upset with us tonight, and our co-producer is upset with him. Our co-executive producer is upset with him, and he kicked Joe off the show. He does have that power there, you know what I'm saying? And the only thing that we was talking about on this sensitive subject, you know, not getting abstract here, though, Sarge, is on the reparations issue. It's because guess what, Sarge? They're going to talk about reparations in the great state of California, man, here in June up there in old Sacramento, California. You know? And yes, and I'm all for the reparations. Now, what we was trying to explain to Joe, Sarge, is that you take $1,000, right? You make an investment, right, Sarge?
Sure.
And then all the money that comes off of that investment, rather if it's 10 years, 100 years, or a million years, is still started off that seed money, right, Sarge? It's called an investment, right?
That's the idea anyway.
Yeah, and this is what the slave traders did with their slave Sarge, and this is why reparations is a must. It's because, you know, they built up New Orleans, Louisiana, made New Orleans, Louisiana the fourth strongest economy in the United States in the late 1700s. Okay, all the sugar cane that our people went down there and got out of the Dominican Republic and off of Puerto Rico and up out of Haiti. Yeah, see, and then not to mention all the stuff that we were harvesting down in the swamps of Florida. You see what I'm saying? And then Chief Osceola of the Seminoles, when he had gave refuge to slaves that came there, you know, for sanctuary, old General Sherman walks down into the swamplands and says, whoa, whoa, Osceola, I'm here to, you know, to get these niggers right here. And you know what Chief Osceola told that trick? He said, he fool, check this out. You in the swamplands, you in my backyard. You fools got exactly about 5 minutes to get your asses up out of here with that bullshit. Otherwise, we're going to start feeding you here to these alligators.
Yep. And the Maroon Colony. Look at the Maroon Colony. Look at the Maroon communities.
I need enlightenment on that. And the Gullah as well, too. So therefore, you know, so therefore those with knowledge on that up out of the Carolinas enlighten me, because I've been to South Carolina in the middle of the summer. It was hot. It was sweaty. There was all kind of critters flying around making all kind of different noises, and all these suckers had teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did I sweat down there. And I'm just imagining
all right.
Down there.
I was having a discussion with some folks who are avid reparations advocates. I mean, they are all in for reparations right here on Blog Talk. I called them. We had a very a civil conversation. Didn't agree about nothing, but we had a very civil conversation. And then when I brought up the legal problems with granting reparations from the government, not from private entities, because there's nothing illegal by anybody giving anybody money to anybody they want. That's up to them. That's their money. When you come and make a claim from the public treasury, you got a different problem. Here's the problem for the federal government. That problem is Article 1, Section 9 and 10 forbids passing ex post facto law. You can't pass a law making something illegal after the fact. It was perfectly legal for slaves, no matter how immoral and evil it was. It was a legal institution. The analog for today is abortion, which is more evil than slavery, because every time you have a successful abortion, you take a human life, every single time. Hundreds of thousands, millions of times.
Okay.
I think it's far worse,
but
yet it's legal. It is legal. And you cannot make a law that is ex post facto making something that was illegal after the fact. Now, the much of discussion about reparations for slavery from the federal government revolves around the fact that it was immoral and inhuman, and under today's climate, it's a violation of human rights and all this stuff, and that was literally not true in 1855. Everywhere, slavery was a universally recognized institution everywhere in the world, and the only countries with an organized political and philosophical movement to end it was in the West, specifically Britain, France, and the United States. It didn't exist anywhere else in the world on an organized political and philosophical level. So,
okay, with Sarge, that's
for people to say
okay.
that we're going to be able to do this now because we can go back in a time machine and all of a sudden say, well, we're going to bring the sensibilities of the 21st century to the 19th century, it's just not going to fly. Just
no,
not,
we're
going to
bring
–
No, Sarge, that's not it. That's not it at all. What we're doing is calling our debt.
What debt is
–
this is what I'm trying to understand. I'm talking about a legal debt. Where is a legal debt to people who weren't didn't even have the rights of citizens? They didn't have rights that were violated. They were not allowed to be citizens.
Okay, but that's
what the
thing.
See, you're trying to craft
laws.
A legal case with laws
exactly.
that did not exist at the time.
Okay,
so there was no law at the time that outlawed slavery. Mm-hmm. Because going back as far as 1790, the so-called North, New York in particular.
No, the Northwest Ordinance only forbade its expansion. Not where it existed.
And where did it exist, Sarge?
Into the new territories that were being discovered and opened up. Remember, they were doing westward expansion beyond Kentucky and Ohio. That was the westward boundaries of the United States. And they were talking about going past that. And they didn't want slavery to be expanded into the new territories.
Okay,
they weren't trying to bother with
Clark.
It. Because remember, we had the 10th Amendment. It was a 10th Amendment issue. And the Constitution didn't require slavery. It simply allowed for it under the rubric of the 10th Amendment. And none of those things were going to interfere with slavery where slavery already existed.
Okay, besides, where the human rights violation came in at is when Nat Turner did his thing. Okay, but sorry.
There was no such formal concept in the 19th century. Slavery was a universal institution on every continent on the planet.
Okay,
but every continent,
like we stated,
was practicing it.
Okay, but like what we stated before here, Sarge, and you've agreed with it too. Whatever with them Greeks did to them Romans, man, them was a bunch of practicing homosexuals anyway. I do not care about them, okay? Whatever with them Germans did to them Belgians, I do not care about them because they came down there and exploited the continent. I'm concerned about my people of where our ancestors originated, Sarge, because we are the children of the sun, okay? And then, Sarge, as you know, my open invitation right out here in Las Vegas, Sarge, it's almost the summer solstice. And for those of you who think we're the same, and if you're Caucasian, please come to Nevada in about 2 weeks, but you got to leave your sunscreen at home, okay, and let's sit out there in the sun with no umbrella, no sunshades, or whatever, and I will show you, like I said, in about 30 minutes of how we are not the same. Now, we need to know medical attention to do for your blistering skin. Okay, we need to have some type of water there for you, okay, but what elements do you need when your skin starts peeling out there, you know, and it's nice, beautiful sun, because the only thing that's going to happen with me is it's going to enhance the melanin in me. You see, and we do understand that those who are melanated less, you survive well in the cold. And I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts if I came into your cold-ass climate of 16,000 feet up there in the Rocky Mountains of any given time of the year, or go to Norway in the winter, or go to Alaska the first day of winter. You all gonna stand out there and let me freeze to death? But however,
I serve with a lot of men in very hot climates, and most of them have enough melanin to at least get bronzed. They get tanned.
Their skin can eventually adapt to the
heat and the temperature.
Okay, but what climes is it? Now, I do know, Sarge, you went to Southeast Asia. That's the
most of them. I'm saying all of them. Some of the Irish guys, I mean, they never could get a tan. They were regularly just blistered. But most, even the white guys had enough melanin to tan. So it didn't bother them that much. It was just the heat and humidity, and that got to everybody, black or white.
Okay, now, the humidity is rough, Sarge.
It's not just the humidity, though, Sarge. They didn't have no copper tone in the 19th century. You think they was really out in them swamps and in them fields and in them jungles
of
America?
I don't know, man. I served with them. I'm right there with both in the same heat and the same sun. And it's beat down on all of us. I watched them get bronzed.
Congo.
Copper tone or not, they got bronzed. Most of them.
They got bronzed. They got burnt the fuck up.
No, they did. They got tanned. I mean, you can see the change in the skin color.
They got skin cancer.
Okay. But
they got
melanoma.
Man, it gets darker than I did, but they got darker.
And they got melanoma,
okay,
too.
And for that matter,
okay,
and then for that matter, the Vietnamese ain't all that dark either. They living in the
yes,
same
they
climate.
Are. That's a damn lie.
I mean, they got darker skin, true. They got brown, but they weren't that much darker than the Caucasians who got tanned.
They got burnt.
Okay, well, I do know down
tan.
There in Myanmar. I know, I know down there in Myanmar, wait a minute, it used to be Burma, then they called it Siam, and then the Philippines, okay, because I do know is that the Asiatic peoples from there, they are of a dark complexion like this, Sarge, even from the Philippines.
Oh, the Cambodians
the
are definitely
black.
Quite dark. In fact, Cambodians are about the same range of skin complexions you see among American black people.
That the Indonesians are the same tone of black people in America.
Right.
But I was talking about mainly the Vietnamese. I mean, it's not a huge. I mean, yes, they are darker
Southern,
than most Caucasians,
yes,
but not so.
Vietnam,
you know, you think it was a drastic difference.
The further south
but
you get,
Cambodians
okay,
now, yeah,
you,
I agree with you about
the
Cambodians
Cambodia,
and Laos. Yeah, that's
Laos,
true for them.
Malaysia, Burma.
Mm-hmm.
And all Asiatic people.
Bangladesh, Sarge,
India,
Sarge, who has the past.
Oh, and by the way.
And the darkest people there are treated.
Worse than black folks in
the the Vietnamese didn't like the Montagnards very much, and the Montagnards were quite dark skinned. They were very much discriminated against by the typical South Vietnamese.
Yeah,
they
just
had a
like
very
the Papua New Guinea.
Mm-hmm. And then just like your boy Gandhi out of Azania. Do you know that Gandhi, when he started his thing, that Dr. King patronized himself up? Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm about to let Sarge know off the research that we've done there, Brother Chang. Do you know that Gandhi hated black South Africans. So which means is that Gandhi hated the Zulu. He hated the Xhosa, okay? The Sikhs as well, too, okay? It's because when you get off over in there, that when he was doing his thing in Azania, because I refuse to call it South Africa, the true name of the place is Azania, as Mama Africa has related in her lectures, okay? And that there's the one and only Ms. Miriam Makeba, who does the opening track called Amapando. Of course, you know Ms. Miriam Makeba for Pata Pata. She also did recordings with Paul Simon on an album called Graceland. And she spoke Sotho, and she spoke Xhosa, and she spoke English quite frequently. And she was married to Hugh Masekela at one time. And she was also married to Brother Kwame Ture. And they referred to her as Mama Africa. But Gandhi had hated blacks is because Gandhi, because a derogatory term against black people in Azania is called Kaffir. It's used despairingly as it is in the United States with the word nigger. Okay. So that, and Dr. King patronized himself after Gandhi, but see, as educated as Dr. King was, he overlooked it on his research of Gandhi. Yes,
he knew about it. He knew about
Gandhi.
He knew about it. He just chose to overlook us. He wanted the overall philosophical traits or tenets of Gandhi's resistance to the British Empire. So he wanted that.
But you see,
Martin Luther King was a truly learned man. He knew all of that about Gandhi. He just chose to overlook, including his favorable remarks toward Adolf Hitler. He knew about that, too.
Okay.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, I heard some information. I came across some information that is something about Hitler's and his Mein Kampf that he written.
Yeah.
Is that they were saying that Hitler had some good ideas and what have you, and somebody suggested
that
I read it.
Well, he said very complimentary things about Adolf Hitler in the 1930s. Very, very much so.
I got a quick question.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Ackerman.
My quick question is, how long
have
we
been
Sarge. Okay, yeah, somebody was asking a question. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Brother Tyrell. Then we turn over to Sarge.
No, this is Rommel. Hey, I just want to know how long
I'm sorry,
Rommel. Because I can't
10 minutes.
So long.
10 minutes.
Okay, yeah, we're going to start. Yeah, we're going to start the closing in about 10 minutes.
Well, we'll be in overtime in 10 minutes, Shabaka.
Okay, then we need to start doing our closing now. Okay, and then we and Brother Rommel extend the invitation of Sarge. Okay, now Sarge, we do Grand Rise and Wishabaka every Friday at 11 a.m. your time, and then of course you know we come on Tuesdays every Tuesday, which would be 9 p.m. your time.
Okay, that's when is that again? What day is that?
Fridays and Tuesdays. Yeah, Friday for Grand Rise and Wishabaka.
Oh, man, my phone is breaking up. Sorry, I didn't hear what...
Okay, Sarge.
Phone clear.
Okay.
I got a problem about this time of night sometimes.
Okay. All right, well, Sarge, we do Grand Rising, you know, for 1 hour. You call up one time, Grand Rising with Shabaka every Friday, okay, at 8 a.m. my time, which would be 11 a.m. your time, okay? And then check what it's about 15 minutes before the start of the podcast, so therefore we know what we're talking about, because generally with Grand Rising, that's pretty much open mic for the issues of the day, particularly, you know, what's going on with the Dump and Raggedy Stormy Daniels and all this other stuff, Sleepy Joe and Kamala Harris, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like our version of Good Morning America, end of the week on Friday, you know. And then also, too, I want to put it out there as well, two shout out there to Black Eye Stan, Jay Dizzle, the Outlaws over there, Kevin Barnes, and what have you, Sister Akshita Veda. And then also, too, we are reaching out to Sister Soldier. And Sister Soldier, if you come across us, ma'am, you know, Google us, because you gave a very, very excellent lecture on the Phil Donahue Show in the mid-1990s, man.
Yes.
And we would... Yeah, we would very much love to have you on our platform when you can. It's because from what I understand, Sister Soldier, that you went on to start doing literary work right now. So if anybody out there can get in touch with Sister Soldier, you know, please have her give us a call, 516-418-5996. Also, too, Dr. Umar Johnson, we would like to hear from you again, man. It's because you are making some... heck of a sense, you know. And,
he's getting
on phone.
Shout out to Umar. I met him.
Yeah. We had Umar on our show before.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, yes, sir. And also,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, most definitely. And then also, too, the podcast is growing. We want to get fans flaming, you know what I mean? Because it's in the spirit of Mad Dr. D, you know, about how we kept it going on. You know, so starting the closings, I'm going to... Yes, sir. So we're going to start the closing. I'm going to start the closing first, and I'm going to let Brother Che run us through it after I do my closing. First of all, this is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight. We definitely appreciate all the input that came on, you know, with our new contributor, Brother Tyrone, the anchor man, you know, Brother Che and Krumah, Lady Che as well, too.
I am the co-executive producer. Ramel is the anchor man.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Okay, I stand corrected. Okay, Brother Che is our co-executive producer, and Ramel Understanding is the anchor man. And we appreciate, you know, our new contributor there, Brother Tyrone, you know, who came up with a good topic tonight. And so, therefore, Brother Tyrone, man, you batted 1,000 tonight. So, you know, picking this subject, I mean, man, we had everybody upset, man, from coast to coast. And Joe Gibson, man, go get drunk, man. You know, cool off, man. We know the truth, you know, got you up under your skin, man. You know what I mean? But you did not have to make all those insults that you did over there, you know, on the chat room, Joe. Okay. I understand you being upset. I understand, you know, your boy Trump is going through it. I understand the state of North Carolina has a brutal history toward my people as well, too. Yes, sir. And that there is my closing comment right there. We'll turn it on there to Brother Chan Krumlin. Everybody make their closings.
Yeah, go ahead, Sarge.
Well, you know, you ought to be careful what you wish for. You think you got Trump in a corner, that man is like, you know, he's like a cat with 9 lives. He keeps coming on back. And I tell you, most of us see, even people who like what's happening right now, are acutely aware of the dangers of the bear they're poking. And they're telling everyone to be cautious in their reaction to this, especially given the compromised position of the senile old potato-head corruptocrat in the White House, who's probably guilty of infinitely more crimes of far greater magnitude than Trump can ever be imagined to be guilty of. So that's why all of this is like a delicate balancing act, and I say don't count your chickens before they start to hatching.
Yeah. All right, Sarge. Okay, Anchorman, your closing comments, sir, then Brother Tyrone, then Brother Chad.
Okay, hold up. Shout out there to all the Black Panthers as well as my father.
Hold up. All right.
You all right?
I'll go.
Brother Tyrone.
Tyrone's knocked off.
Oh, okay, okay. We definitely appreciate his contribution tonight. We definitely appreciate Sarge to be working with us on Grand Rising with Shabaka, you know, on Fridays and what have you, and which would be 1, 2, 3 days. And then also, too, shout out there to Brother Paris J. Dizzle, once again, Outlaw Radio. Also, to other sisters out there, Sister Nicole Wright, who wishes us well. Also, too, shout out there to Sister Shia Payne. You know, she has a platform, you know, as well, too. And definitely a shout-out, and we're extending the invitation to the young entrepreneur, Mr. Jay Morrison, who has a whole lot of positive influence. Mr. Morrison, I probably need to get with you, man, so an old bastard like me, man, when he checks out, man, could check out with some type of financial integrity, okay? And then also, to our haters, we love your hate mail, okay, and then also to Zuckerberg or whatever. You throwing my stuff down there. You told me on your restriction note that you're throwing all my feeds, all my information to the bottom of the feeds. Okay, Zuckerberg, you're a bottom feeder. You can't stand the truth, so that's why, you know, you suspended me, you know, for 34 days or whatever that you did. And really, Zuckerberg, I really hope the stock goes down, man, off on your Facebook platform. And I hope your sorry ass winds up broke, man, sitting in a cardboard box over there in San Francisco. And you too, YouTube, I got a little bit of issues with you guys as well, too. But not too bad as I got with old Zuckerberg. And you stinky bird. Now, as Sarge said, Stinky Bird, that you pretty much is opening up, you know, freedom of speech is because I got hit, you know, by Stinky Bird a couple of times, but not as much as I do by Zuckerberg, you know. And then, too, Muskie, Stinky Bird, you're a bore. I don't recognize you as no African. Okay, you're a boy, you're a colonizer. And that there's my closing comments right there.
All right. Thank y'all for tuning in to this episode of Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced, episode 352, season 7. Make sure y'all check the show this Friday for Grand Rises with Chewbacca at 8 a.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Eastern. And the topic will most likely be the dump again.
Right.
And we got to do what Dr. Claude Anderson told us to do at least 10 years ago. It's like a five-story building, Black family. You start with group economics. The next level up is you buy or rent a politician to do your bidding, to promote your interests and your agenda. The next thing you do is you take that money that you get from that and you control the courts and the police in this country. The next step from that is you control the media, the newspapers, the publications, five-story building. We need to do it now. We are beyond in a state of emergency. We're definitely in a boat with a hole in it and it's steady sinking. So we either going to sink with it or we going to swim to salvation. But either way, we got to do for self, Black family. Ain't nobody going to help us but us. Ain't nobody going to save us but us. And ain't nobody going to do right by us but us. So we need to come together like Voltron, stand up and flip the table over, and it's done. So stay Black, stay dangerous, stay empowered, and we'll catch y'all on the next broadcast. And where we going out with Chewbacca?
Ship Ahoy by the OJs. This album was made in 1973. I remember it in my youth. And, of course, you know what the subject matter is of what they talk about. Ship Ahoy by the OJs, 1973. And thank you so very much.
Such a goddamn set.
Good night. Indeed. Thank you.
as your eyes can see. Men, women, and baby slaves come into the land of liberty. But life's design is already made. So young and so strong, they're just waiting to be saved.